Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Each of us in our life answer four basic questions. The quality of our life is determined to the answers that we give to the questions. What is my life vision? Who are my life relationships? What is my life work? And what will be my legacy? Of course, our legacy is being shaped through the course of our life by how we answer the other three questions. And Jesus got to the heart of the first question around life vision in the opening of the Lord's Prayer. As Becky sang the message for us, we could again feel, the pathos of what Jesus was conveying, this intimate connection of heaven to earth, our life with God's life. But there's a prerequisite. There's a bridge, and the bridge is connected to our vision. And it opens with the understanding of the power of the Lord shaping the vision of our life by hallowed be thy name. Then the passage that Brooklyn and Josh read for us is the passage that comes alive in the sense of the woman at the well. And the story of this woman at the well, whose name is not given, but her life is highlighted as a heroine of the faith. She met Jesus and she graduated. She graduated to that next place in life. As we have honored our graduates from high school today, we celebrate that they have a future, that God goes before them, that we've invested our life for their life to go well. The parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and Sunday school teachers and each of us in making this investment to believe in God's great work for them. And so Christ came to give that same investment to the woman at the well. A study out of Fuller in Los Angeles, California said that the most consistent growth in the spiritual life of high school graduates requires a couple of features. One of those is that there be at least five adults who've invested, outside of the parents, five adults that have invested in that high school graduate's life. Another is the sense of scriptures being looked at and the Christian faith being looked at as a journey of trust in God, that the answers that God will continue to provide in life as we go to future experiences that are ahead of us. In other words, it's an ongoing learning. It's called being a disciple. And thirdly, the continuation of worship in the first 6 months of that high school graduate's life when entering into this next stage of life. That 80% of the people keep growing in the Christian faith when these three have taken place. And so Jesus highlights the power of the naming of worship and our coming into the name of Christ for the worship. Now, what does a name do? But a name identifies and it clarifies. I mean, we have the flags of 25 nations in our sanctuary encircling us, because yesterday we had the graduation ceremony for the Baptist University of the Americas. And which name after name was called of people from coming a courageous life story, receiving a certificate or a diploma, and moving into the rest of their life. And the flags representing the journey where they have come, as well as our investment as a congregation into the lives of these students from the Baptist University of Americas. That in the midst of their name being called is saying, your name is written into the God's work and that it matters who you are. And that we say, mi casa su casa. Your graduation is in our house and you matter to us. Now, at the same time on Saturday morning on the other side of our Mulberry campus, there were 86 families that were receiving food, each one known by name, each one receiving personal connection and care by members of our church as they made selections that were needed for their family. There's the intimacy of what happens when our name is called. And so Jesus said, make sure that your name is called into the book of life by calling on my name here on earth. And by that, calling on the name of Christ on earth is understanding the power. That name has a way of identifying and clarifying. Identifying who we are, identifying who others are, and making the claim and clarifying in relationship with Christ of who he is for our life. So the woman at the well, the woman in Samaria by Jacob's well, discovered herself as Christ revealed himself. That's the promise that Christ makes possible. The discovering of who we are in light of Christ revealing himself to us. that Christ has come in the great disclosure of his life to our world. And this great disclosure is so that we may step into a relationship with him that can continue to shape the vision which he has for us. As we look then at the story that unfolds then in John 4, we see that this conversation itself unfolds a pathway by which we can understand our own life more clearly. And so in John 4:10, the word is given that Jesus was answering her question. She had asked for some water, and he was asking about water, and because she was by the well. It was a famous well. It was named by Jacob. Jacob, one of the great leaders of the early biblical faith, one of the patriarchs. And she went there not during the busy time of the day, because she had a reputation that her name had been, it had been gossiped about, and that she had been set aside as not being worthy to go to Jacob's well when everyone else went there. But you notice Christ shows up in our life. He shows up with a vision for our life wherever we are. That's why we firmly believe that we can live our best life going forward. God's grace can heal wounds from the past, but we cannot redo the events of the past, but we can let them be healed by the grace of God in such a way that we have a future to go forward to. And this woman's graduation day was being able to see her future in light of what Christ was going to reveal. And so she came to the sacred well, Jacob's well, in order to get water. And then Jesus came, surprising to her, a man, a Jewish man, speaking to a woman. Jesus is always seeking to surprise us as he reveals his vision to our life. And so he answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that was speaking to you, then you would have asked me and I would have given you living water." The vision of our life, what our life is to be accomplished, that our relationships and our work, our talents, our hobbies, our connections, everything about us comes together to fill our life with something good or something bad, something worthy or something unworthy. And the power of a relationship of following the ways of Christ as he shapes that vision. And our personalities make a difference. God doesn't ask us all to be alike each other, but he does ask for all of us to be unified around a common vision of his best for our life in our being in a living relationship with him. And then we come together in a very diverse family, like the Trinity Baptist Church family, maybe like your own family in your home. And in that diversity, there's the unity that comes together by what Christ is talking about being the living water of life. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for not just water from the well under the ground, but are you thirsty for the living waters that comes from heaven, that quenches the thirst that lasts a lifetime and lasts for eternity? Now, at this point, the woman was curious, and part of what we pray for our high school graduates is that they will stay curious. They will stay curious about their lives, stay curious about the world that God created, stay curious and to seek God's answers and solutions so that our world can be a better place because diseases have found their cures. New patents have been formed by enriching our way of living on this earth, that the environment could be healed from sources of pollution, that there can be an equity in the distribution of opportunities for education that can lead to an equity then in jobs and for income, that there can be a way of our living in a relationship with the living water, of delivering water from our lives so that we can help quench the thirst of people within our world. I remember the story that I've told, I think, one time, that when our son Stephen was a little boy and he'd been working out in the gym and he came into my office and he knew I kept some other bottles of water around my office, and he came in, he was going to quench his thirst. So he just grabbed a bottle without really looking at it, and he opened it up, and he just took a big swig. And then he spit it out, right across my chairs and my carpet and my desk. He said, "What is that?" And we looked at the bottle, and it was bottled water that I brought back from Israel from the Jordan River, and it had been there a while. It did not quench his thirst. I wondered if we need to give him antibiotics afterwards. It does matter where we go to try to quench our thirst. And that's the difficulty that this woman had had. She looked for love, but in the wrong places, in the wrong relationships, in the wrong way. And the wrong way never gets us to the right way. The wrong way only delivers us in the right way when we have said we're in the wrong way. I remember when we were young and my mother was driving us as children to see the old Colt 45s. That's before there were Houston Astros. You remember there was a Colt 45s? There used to be an outdoor stadium in Houston. I was just a little boy. And she drove down the wrong way on a one-way street. And she said, "Oh my." I promise that's all she said was, "Oh my." And just, she kept her wits about her. She turned around and she found her direct pathway out of that one-way street going the wrong way in big Houston, Texas, having come all the way from Burney, Texas. I remember as a little boy respecting her ability to solve a problem. She didn't keep trying to go down the wrong way in a one-way street, but she found the right way to get out of the wrong way. And Jesus came to the woman at the well not to condemn her, but he came to be a relationship where she could bring her shame and her guilt, and that she could deliver her life to him and receive his living water of love and grace, and that she could truly become a graduate into the kingdom of God for the rest of her life on earth. That's the Lord's promise. We find then in John chapter 4, 13 and 14, the story continues, that Jesus answered, "Now everyone who drinks of this water, again, is going to be thirsty. You have a false expectation, you deceive yourself if you think you just get one drink of water and that's all you're going to ever need. Because our body is about 98% water. It needs water. That's part of God created a dependency for us in creation. A sense of the awareness that we need the resources that God created in the world in order for the resource of our life to live well. That was a way for us to make sure we keep the resources healthy in the world. And we take them in a healthy way to our life. And so he said, if I give them though this water, the water of my relationship with them, my love for them, my truth for them, my goodness for them, a vision for their life that will allow them to be noble, then they will never thirst again because their life vision will be durable and sustainable for their whole lives. It's a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The kind of vision that enables us to hear at the end of the journey, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, when the woman was hearing Jesus, it was like she couldn't take in what he was really saying. It was both she couldn't really believe that it was true. Could it really be this good? And that she was really hearing what she thought she was hearing. So in verse 15, the woman said to him, "Now, sir," with a sense of respect, "give me this water that you speak of so I won't have to come back to Jacob's well and draw water again." She was looking for that kind of easy, comfortable answer that one of the chores of life or the embarrassments of being with other people could be removed from her life. And sometimes we look at God that way. Lord, we want our lives to be more convenient than what it is. We want to be able to get all the checks off our to-do list so we can get down to the really good stuff of living life. I was sharing earlier, I remember, I think I was in my early 40s, when the Spirit finally taught me that lesson of how to be happy when the times aren't happy. How to have fun when the times aren't fun. How to feel the joy when the circumstances are not joyful. It's when we're not controlled by the stuff that happens around us, because the stuff within us and determines and directs us in our response to all of those circumstances. Jesus did not feel joy on the cross. He did not feel joy in cleaning up the mess of our human sin, but he endured the cross and despised the shame, and because of the joy that was set before him, said in Hebrews 12:3. And so your life and my life is not waiting for the easy times to be happy. There's a life vision that gets us up in the morning, gets our feet on the ground, sends us out to the day, because the vision goes with us wherever we go. This relationship with Christ that then directs us in our own individual journey. And so Jesus then said in verses 22 and 23, now when we come to worship, right, he's connecting directly to what he was teaching in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is to worship because your name is sacred, because it's consecrated, because your name is El Shaddai, God Almighty, because your name is El Elyon, God on high, because your name is Adonai Yahweh, the Lord God who makes a covenant with us. Because Christ would be called Christ anointed, Jesus the anointed Messiah. That he would be called the living water, the bread of life, the door, the way, the truth, and the life. The many ways of expressing the names of the one God in Scripture, our name Trinity, highlights the unity of God is so magnificent, so powerful, that one name cannot describe all of God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallowed be thy name. Because in the name of God, then the power of our lives are released under his authority and for his purposes, that we can always know that we show up under Christ's authority wherever we go. We have a standing in our world because we may stand with him. Hallowed be thy name. But if we're not worshiping, we're not consecrating, we're not making sacred, we're not honoring, we're not being noble with the name of God, it's impossible for us to live then in the nobility of the place he gives us in the world of belonging. And that's when all the pushing and the shoving and the conniving, the backstabbing, the gossiping, the destroying of reputations, that's when all that stuff gets released in the world. And so the opening of the prayer is revolutionary. And Jesus is revealing to the woman at the well, this is me who you're talking to. I am that living water. Now come in spirit and truth. Come in the spirit of being made within our image. Come in the power of the truth which I provide for you. In the spirit of truth in John 4, 22 and 23, that we may see our place with him. And in the promise he then provides that for us. And then the woman said, well, sure, I'll worship that way and I'll take the water that way if only I could find the one. And the conversation comes to a climax when Jesus says, woman, it is me. I am that person. No longer having to go about searching on a long adventure to find the one, he is right here with you today. You were made in his image, and when you come to the well to have the needs of your life to be met, it's Jesus saying, drink of me, for I love you. Trust me, but live in my ways. Give yourself to me. Let me be your Savior and Lord, for I am he. For whom are you living your life? The woman at the well's life direction changed forever after that conversation. She went to her Samaritan village. She told them what had happened and who this person was. They came and believed for themselves, and they themselves then became followers of the way. The community was restored to each other because of the healing power of the real living water. The Lord calls for us to be his living water in a world that is tragically dying of thirst when the water is right there. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful that we have missions and ministry that help to provide pure water around the world. We are grateful that even we have a dependency to drink water so that our bodies can be healthy each day. With that understanding, then we take the next step forward, like you asked the woman at the well to do. Understanding that you are the wellspring, that you are the well that never goes dry. And we are grateful that you're providing your source of life to us right now. We lean into you. We lean into you and drink deeply. Through you, O Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.